2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Now, some of you who are observant might be saying to yourself, well, the last chapter we covered was chapter 7, and you would be correct. But to save some time, we're just going to look at a few verses in chapter 9 and talk about what's going on. Now, that can be your homework this week. You can go back and you can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, there are the first few verses, and then you can flip over and you can read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, and they're all dealing with this same topic, and that is an offering that the people of Corinth have been working on gathering to help the people of Jerusalem. That's what's being covered, and that's what's talked about in chapter 8, and he continues on in chapter 9. And so just to save time from reading through all that, there's not really a lot to break down too much verse by verse. And so we're just going to combine these two chapters into these three short verses here and talk about what's going on. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this. The person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this simple instruction that Paul gives to the people of Corinth. And dear Lord, I believe that this instruction is good for us too. So I pray that you would help us to be generous, to be cheerful givers, to be your people that do good works, to help others when there is a need that arises. I pray that you free us from the worries and the distractions and the thoughts of this world. And I pray that in these few minutes that your Holy Spirit will take these words and just plant them in our heart. Let us think on them, dear Lord. Let your Spirit recall these words to our mind and to times we need them. And I pray that these words would shape how we live and how we sow and how we give. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, at the end of 1 Corinthians, in the last chapter, chapter 16, I think it's the last chapter, Paul says, look, you guys need to work on helping out the people in Jerusalem. And he begins to talk about that in chapter 8. He begins to talking about this gift that they have supposedly been working on for some time, for about a year now. And Paul starts off by saying, look, I have told the people of Macedonia how good you guys are doing, and I also want to tell you how good that they're doing. Now, he points out in chapter 8 the poverty of the people of Macedonia, that they have suffered some kind of affliction. But nonetheless, they are willing and ready and eager to give to support others, even though they don't have. They are eager, and they're begging Paul, essentially, don't take this blessing from us. You ever heard anybody say that before? Maybe you've said it before. You want to help somebody out and you try to help them and they say, no, I can't take that from you. And you say, look, don't take, this is my blessing to you. Maybe somebody said that to you or you said that to somebody. I just shared with y'all, I think, a great example of that when we went to New Orleans. And one of the very people we went to serve handed me a wad of money. It was $40. That he wanted to give back to our ministry. And some would say, how could you take that man's money? He ain't got anything. Well, if this is what's on his heart, which is what we see in his scripture, if his heart, if his desire is, even in my poverty, I want to be generous to help others, well, that's what the scripture calls us to do. And that's exactly what Paul says of the Macedonians, and that's what he's calling the people of Corinth to do. Now, if you go back and you read these two chapters, I'm not really sure exactly what he's going for here. Maybe he's just stating some simple facts. You know, hey, Macedonia did good. Hey, you need to do good. Or maybe he's trying to spur them on a little bit. hey, look at these people up in Macedonia. They've done pretty good. Now, don't you think you can probably do a little better than that, or maybe at least do as good as them? I don't know if Paul was trying to spur something on. As you read on, he says, hey, look, you know, I've been telling them about all this big offer and this gift y'all are working on. Some of them supposed to come down here and see it. So y'all better make sure that everything's ready. It sure would be embarrassing for you, Paul says, if they were to come, if we were to come, and you ain't going to have much to offer to the people in Jerusalem. Now, I don't know if Paul's kind of trying to give them a hint and a little nudge. Maybe he's just stating facts, and there's no ulterior motive that he's got going on. But nevertheless, that's the conversation that's going on here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and into chapter 9. And the main point being this, is that we don't have to look very far around us to see that there are people in need, that there are brothers and sisters in Christ in need. And the point that Paul makes is that when you have an abundance and there's somebody else that doesn't have enough, then it's our duty, it's our privilege, it's our call by Scripture to try to help those who do not have from those who do have. And that's what Paul is talking about. And that's what we see alluded to here in these verses that we read tonight, where he says, remember this. Now, this is good instruction for us too. Now, we're not necessarily called to send money to a specific thing as they were here in Jerusalem. There are many, many, I think, opportunities that we may be able to give. And I'm not talking about as a church. I mean, sometimes as a church, sure. But even individually, just in our daily life. And these words are good for us to remember. When he says, remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Now, if anybody in here has ever planted a garden, if you plant a small garden, guess what? You're going to produce a small amount of crops. If you plant a big garden, you're going to produce a large amount of crops. Now, the benefit to a small garden is, well, it don't take nearly as much work. You don't have to work as hard at it. It's easy to get out there, do the work. It's easy to pick what grows. A big garden, though, it takes a lot of work, but the reward is worth it. Because if you plant a big garden, you're going to have an abundance, more so than most people can eat. Most of the people I know who plant a big garden give a lot of it away. They share it with their neighbors. That's a good thing to do. That's a great thing. And I guess city folks don't do that because they don't have gardens. But you see that here at this church all the time. It's not uncommon when gardens are growing that people will come in with sacks full of stuff and sit them back there on the table and say, hey, I brought squash today. I brought peas today. I brought whatever it is today. That's a good example of people who have an abundance who are sharing with others who may not have an abundance. And that's what Paul says. Those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. So we need to be generous, not just with our gardens. It's not just talking about our gardens. I think it's talking about everything we have. In particular, I suppose finances would be probably more specifically what it's talking about. But maybe there are other materialistic things we have other than finances. But realistically, most everything we have is a result of finances. And so the question is, are we tight with what we have? Do we hold on to it? Or are we freely giving to help others? And we have to think about that. We don't want to be hoarders. We want to be those that if we have, then we're not stuffing it under our mattress and going in there and counting it every day. And we know when one bill is gone out from under that mattress, we lay on it at night and we say, man, I'm laying a little lower tonight. I think somebody took a $100 bill out from under there. Some people are just that tight with their money. They're just that stingy. And they've been blessed, but they don't use what they've been blessed with to in any way help somebody. Or maybe they do help, but just with the bare minimum to get by. And what Paul is calling us to here, and I think what God calls us to, obviously through the Scripture, is if we've been blessed, then we need to bless others when we have opportunity and the means to do so. He says in verse 7, each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of necessity. What does God want us to do? He wants our heart to be right. He wants us to give with a good heart. He wants us not to come to church and say, well, I'm at church, and I guess the offerings plate is coming around. I guess I should give something because the Bible talks about giving, and I don't really want to because I want to buy this new thing, or I want to save for this, or I want to keep this for a rainy day, or whatever reason, excuse that we make. God doesn't want us just to say, well, I don't want to give this, but I'm supposed to, so I'm going to give it. God doesn't want us to give reluctantly. He says he doesn't want us to give out of necessity. God wants us to seek him and his word and to grow in him and to experience his grace and to love other people like that he loves people. And then when we see that there's a need, it's not a reluctant give. It's a, oh no, this person has a need. This person needs some food. I'm going to give them some food. Hey, I hear the church is collecting sleeping bags. Man, I want to help these people. They're laying out in the cold. They don't have anywhere to sleep. They don't have anything to eat. I want to buy some sleeping bags. I want to put $20 in the pot. I want to put $100 in the pot, whatever it is. God wants us to love those that we are serving. He wants us to give. He wants our heart to be right. And so if you give reluctantly right now, then that's something you need to pray about. We need to pray and say, okay, God, maybe there are times in our life where we don't want to get rid of that money. Well, we just don't want to give to that ministry. And we say, golly, I just gave to this ministry and now this other ministry wants money and now the roof is going to have to be repaired and they're going to be asking for more money and, well, I didn't give enough. Okay, well, if that's your heart, so be it. I mean, I'm not telling anybody what to give or how much to give or what to give to. That's between you and the Lord. I had somebody ask me one day about our church. Well, ooh, are they pretty good givers, your people? I said, I don't have a clue what anybody gives. Why would you even ask a preacher that? I don't have a clue. But that told me where that person's heart was. The first thing they said to me is they said, what do you do at the church? I said, well, I'm the pastor. They said, oh, you make the big money. They said, what about your people? They pretty good givers. I was like, dude. But that's where some people's hearts are. I don't have a clue what nobody gives. If you are ever wondering, I don't look at nothing. You, Sonny, can vouch for that. I don't ask. Zero information. Zero information. Because if you want to give, that's between you and the Lord. If the Lord calls you to give, then praise the Lord. If he doesn't cause you to give, well, that's between you and the Lord. God wants us to give from the heart. And if that means giving to 17 different needs that come up throughout the year, then so be it. That's between you and the Lord. But what the Lord wants is for our heart to be right. And if our heart's not right, then we need to pray that God would help change our heart. Because it says that God loves a cheerful giver. Not a stingy giver, not a reluctant giver, not a giver out of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. So we're not earning God's favor. We're not earning God's favor. It's not like God's got a thermometer in heaven with our name on it. And every time we put some money in there, that thermometer goes up until we've reached the top of it. Until we're hot, boy. God says, all right, they're ready to go. They put a 20 in here and 100 in there and they put 500 in one day. And boy, they really doing good. That's not how God works. God would rather us put 2 cents in with a pure heart then put $1 million in reluctantly. Because that's what God looks at. God loves a cheerful giver. And there is great blessing when we give from the heart. Listen to what he says in verse 8. And God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. Now he says grace here, but I think he's just talking about blessing in general. That when we give, God takes care of us. He gives us what we need. Now, I'm not one of those folks that believes that the Bible teaches that, boy, if you give a bunch of money to God, then God's gonna give you a bunch of money back. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't do that sometimes. I'm not saying that God doesn't bless us in that way sometimes. But I'm also not saying that the scripture guarantees that, boy, if you put $100 in the plate today, you'll get a $1,000 check in the mail next week out of the blue. Maybe you will. I don't know. But I know that God blesses us in whatever way He chooses to, and maybe that's materialistically, or maybe it's not. But God provides what we need, and sometimes provides abundantly above and beyond what we need. And for what purpose? So that we can excel in every good work. Well, what's a good work? We just talked about one of them tonight. If it's giving to other people who are in need. Now, maybe there's been times in your life where you were reluctant to give. I suspect if we're honest, we've probably all had some times where maybe there was some ministry or maybe there was some person on the street and you were reluctant to give for whatever reason. You said, I don't know about that person. I don't know what they're going to do with the money, or I don't know about this thing at the church. I don't know if I want to give to this. There's probably been times in our life that we have been reluctant to give. But in my experience, and I would venture to say probably in everybody's experience, I don't know of any time that I have ever made the decision to give that afterwards I felt worse giving. Now, I've had times that I didn't give or didn't help somebody that was in need. And man, that's a hard thing to have to live with when you pass somebody by and you think, man, should I help that person? And you don't help that person. But I venture to say that for most of us in here, for those times that we do help, that we don't go away saying, man, I wish I hadn't helped that person. We just don't do that because there's great blessing in knowing that we've done the right thing. And that's what Paul's calling the people to here in Corinth. He's saying, look, there's a need among the people in Jerusalem. And you have an abundance. You have an ability with what God has blessed you with to be able to help these people. And so through the blessings that God has given you, give back to those who are in need. And know that when you give from a good heart, that God is going to take care of you. His grace is going to shine down upon you. There's going to be a great blessing that you receive from God. And that's good instruction for us today. That God wants us to be a cheerful giver. And what better example do we have to give than Jesus Christ? He gave His life so that our sins could be forgiven. And that's our example. That's the one that we look to. We are only forgiven through Jesus Christ because He has given His life for us. So that when we repent and ask for forgiveness, our sins will be forgiven. And so when we receive such a great grace and such a great blessing from God, then that should motivate us to be able to bless those we come in contact with in whatever ways we may be able to bless them. Let's pray. God, we thank You for this good word. I pray that You would help us to be a people that give from the heart. Maybe sometimes we do, and maybe there are some times that we don't, dear Lord. Maybe there are times that we are greedy, and that we are reluctant, and that we are selfish. So I pray that You would help our hearts to change, that we wouldn't give out of necessity or from an unwilling heart, dear Lord, but that through Your word and through Jesus Christ, our hearts would change in such a way that we would have a heart and a desire to give to help others in whatever way we can. So help us to take these words of Paul and learn from them tonight, and help us, dear Lord, as individuals and as a church, be a giving church, dear Lord. We pray that You continue to meet our needs and help us to have an abundance so we can continue to help the needs of others. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.